And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Madison Square Garden. This is Larry Merchant along with George Foreman and Slappy Brown for this big heavyweight match. A big heavyweight fight between Monica Lewinsky and Chandra Levy. A couple of big interns going at it here at Madison Square Garden. This fight is brought to you by Busch Beer.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jenna Busch. I get rat-assed on Busch whenever I can.
Thank you, Jenna. And by those fine people at Afrosheen. It's not just for white people anymore. Just ask Conan O'Brien, whatever that means. Well, George, it's going to be a great fight. Monica Lewinsky, how do you like this fight? Monica Lewinsky and Chandra Levy.
No doubt about it, Larry. It's going to be a real good fight. I think they're both really tough. I think I'm looking forward to this thing. I think there are a couple of tough interns, one of them gobbing Cone over there in the Oval Office, other one gobbing the knob over there in the townhouse. It's going to be out of sight.
Well, you heard him, George Foreman, the former heavyweight champion of the world, and of course he is expecting a very great fight here between Chandra Levy and Monica Lewinsky. And Slappy Brown, come on in here, Slappy. Slappy, how do you like this fight?
I think the girl's gonna win.
You think the girl's gonna win? Which girl?
The one with brown hair.
Which brown-haired girl is gonna win?
The intern.
Which intern is gonna win?
I don't know. Back to you.
There you go. That's our pick. I don't know. Back to you. It's the guy that we picked.
Man, that's Slappy. He's out of his mind. I don't know why you cats hire a guy like that. Slappy Brown, he's out of his freaking brain, and he's all brain damaged. He's punch drunk. He's Slappy. I hope you guys are paying me more money than you're paying him, all right? I don't have to sit here against some drooling white man, and you got booze on your breath.
Just never mind about that. Well, I'll tell you something, fans. We're looking for a big fight here between Chandra Levy and Monica Lewinsky, two of the big heavyweight interns. And of course, now look at this. Here comes Monica Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky is entering the ring right now.
Yeah, here comes Monica Lewinsky. She got a lot of handlers.
A lot of people handling her. She's got a couple of handles there, too, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's got love handles on her, man. She's all right. Big fat ass, everything like that. I love it.
Well, George, I can tell you one thing about Monica Lewinsky. She's a tough one. They keep her down there on the floor, and she's down, she stays there.
That's exactly right. I love about an intern.
Jesus.
Who wrote this?
All right, now we got Monica Lewinsky there, and of course she is preceding the challenger. The challenger is Chandra Levy, and Chandra Levy now should be coming out. And apparently she's not coming out. I don't understand this. This is highly irregular. And
well, don't you know she's been missing?
What?
I said she's been missing.
That's right, Larry. Chandra Levy missing.
Well, then why are we here?
To see if you read the newspaper now, you dumbass.
You guys bring me all the way out here. There's no fight.
No, Chandra Levy not here because she's been missing. Her daddy looking for her, mama looking for her, and everything else. We set the whole thing up to see what kind of a dumbass you are. You are dumb, aren't you?
You set me up for a big fight, and she's missing?
God damn, man, don't you read a newspaper? Come on. She's been missing for a long time.
All right, well, there's no fight tonight because Monica Lewinsky's here, but Chandra Levy is missing.
She might be stuck in traffic.
Is she stuck in traffic?
No, man, they think she's dead.
Okay, Monica Lewinsky won't fight Chandra Levy because they think she's dead. You guys tell me this stuff. All right, we're going to go down to the floor. Before we leave, we want to go down to the floor here and talk to Monica Lewinsky about this no-show from Chandra Levy. Slappy, take it away.
Yeah, I'm right down here on the floor with Monica Lewinsky. Hey, Monica, Chandra's a no-show. What do you think about that?
I knew she had probably ducking me. You know, I got to my knees. I prayed to Allah and to all of everybody, the Baker Square and everything.
What do you mean you prayed to Baker Square?
Some kind of a wild religion, man. Allah, Baker Square, everything, fast food, all that. And I knew that thing happened now.
So Chandra Levy not here, so where do you think she is?
Hell, I don't know where she is, damn it. I know I win the damn fight, and that's all I got there. So forfeit, you know.
All right, back to you.
So Chandra Levy, a no-show. Thanks a lot, Monica.
You got it, Larry, man. I love you. And George, how you been?
All right, bro.
So that's the fight. Monica Lewinsky versus Chandra Levy. There is no fight because Chandra Levy is missing. This fight brought to you by Busch Beer. And the Bush sisters that drink it. I'm Larry Merchant along with George Fort. Why would you have me come out here when there's no fight?
Don't put your hands on me, Larry. You're a white man and you just put your hands on a black man.
Well, why would you? Oh!
I had to kick his ass. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. That's the Phil Hendry Show. I'm George Foreman. We'll be back in a minute.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
So allegedly a guy pulled a knife on Big Brother, on the set of Big Brother. Now this show, and I didn't know this, this show is live streamed 24 hours a day. You can check it out on the net. As a matter of fact, we got a very interesting email from, got a couple of emails we're going to reference on the show today. One of them was from a listener who said that our show was mentioned on Big Brother during the live streaming, not on the show, and I don't know whether it'll be used, and probably now that I've mentioned it on the air, somebody at CBS is bound to say, oh, work for Clear Channel, huh? Well, we're not putting you on our show. Okay. But in any event, the contestants were sitting around talking, and I think they referenced the Phil Hendry Show somewhere along the line, you know, like, you really want to hear a show that sucks? Boy, you ought to, man, if you think Survivor 3 is going to blow, you ought to hear that. So, if you think the show we're on right now blows, you ought to listen to this guy, Henry. Anyway, this guy pulls a knife and holds it to the throat of the woman, and then somebody from the red room or the producer's booth, which if I'm a serial murderer, I got to tell you, a guy talking to me from the producer's booth is not exactly going to put me off of the task that I've assigned for myself.
Now, now, Eddie, put the knife down.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, sure. Nice way to screen those cats, too. I know that you have to kind of walk the edge in a show like Big Brother. You need for it to be unpredictable, especially after the season they had last year, which I understand wasn't too hot. Although it's back, and the mole ain't. Is the mole back? Really? You ought to have it looked at. No, the is the mole, is that TV show, Matt? I don't know. I don't know what other things. Is Temptation Island back is all I want to know. That's got to be. It ain't? Jesus, that show was phenomenal. Temptation Island was the greatest thing that has ever happened to television. Oh, my God, it was great. And not for the reasons that they thought it was great. It was a great show to flip on once a week and feel so much better about yourself. I mean, I rarely feel superior to other people, only about every other day. But just to sit and watch marvelous cases like Billy Bob and Wanda and that redhead and Waitasi and Cleo or what, Tahisi and Mambo Boy, I don't know what the hell his name, they were, Tahid, yeah, they were two examples of the finest that the human race has to offer. All hail Tahid and Waitasi, and if I were her, I'd be tossing too. You know, if I were with her, I'd be tossing. As in, you're a tosser? Okay, so Big Brother, the guy, he pulls a knife. They had to, obviously, they threw him off the show. Oh, Mike's sitting there going, did they throw him off the show? Yeah, Mike, they threw him off. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't. You wouldn't? I don't know. You know, the guy's, somebody's going to get, like I said, someone's going to die. And then the shows are going to be the subject of a congressional hearing. And, oh, we need more of those, don't we? It's going to be another Jenny Jones thing. As God is my witness. Somebody's going to take a knife. Someone's going to get a shank in the back. And then they're going to say, why didn't we see this coming? Are you nuts? The minute the guy fell in the fire, you knew somebody was up for grabs. The minute that guy fell in the fire, you knew someone was going to die. The minute I saw Waitasi, I knew somebody was going to die. Anyway, this guy pulls a knife and holds it to her throat. And she says, well, I've got to get a drink of water. The girl attempts to leave, and he says, no, 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 no. Have you ever had an... And he put the knife back against her throat. He had pulled it out of a gym bag of some sort. Now, look, they keep them out of airplanes. We've got metal detectors in high schools. Hey, you guys at Big Brother... Would you want to buy yourself a metal detector? Or maybe that's too difficult. I don't know. But we did get mentioned. Somebody said that we were mentioned. Now, Big Brother reminds me of what's happening in my house today, by the way. We've got two new cleaning women. My wife has hired two women to come and clean the house because apparently when we hire cleaning people at our house, we can't keep them employed. They just quit. These are people that have been employed by families for 25 years. The minute they see our house, they run screaming. So when I get back... I'll see. But I was thinking it'd be interesting to stick a camera in my pad when we're trying to step over piles of laundry and stuff when people are in cleaning the house. You ever had a cleaning woman, even for a brief moment? It's like you're a stranger in your own house, man, because you're going to, you know, you want to get some breakfast. It's, no, no, I have to clean kitchen. Miss Maria telling me. Well, Miss Maria Toy, I got to get something to get out. What I got to get, I said to get out. Miss Maria said for me to go clean up the kitchen. Well, can I get a little, no, you can't. Get bug off, okay, Baldy. Yeah, but I want to get something. Guys, go. You're gone. You're out of here. But, you know, that's a hell of a job. Come in and scrub out the freaking skid marks in someone's underwear that you just met that day. How can you say anything other than that the Mexican people are a noble and long-suffering people, that they would even deign to come across the border to scrub your freaking skid marks? There's something to be said for people like that. All the anti-immigration, anti-immigrant, all of this talk, which, you know, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other with me. It's the same old kind of reactionary California dribble. But, I mean, you got to give some people credit. That, hi, how do you do? I'm fine. Here's my underwear. Okay. God. That is like, to me, that takes a hell of a human being. Anyway. So as I, what do you want?
Anything.
What do you want, man?
We got to do a thing.
What is it?
You want me to do the email.
Oh, the uplifting email of the week. I'm sorry.
All right, now roll it.
Go ahead and roll the music. Okay, bud.
Now, everybody, it's time for the uplifting email of the week on a Phil Henry Show. This is an email that come from a listener in Texas.
All right, this is from a listener in Texas, and this is just a little bit of love that we get from our listeners occasionally in our email file.
All right, Phil. This listener references yesterday's show where Chris Norton was on, and he talked about how Chandler Levy not good look enough for Conda to admit that he had pork session. Now, he said...
Hold on. Whoa. Hold on for a minute, okay? You know, we're talking about a girl that could be dead.
But I do.
Pork session? Just say affair.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay. See, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to clean you up a little bit. Go ahead. Read the email.
All right, Phil. This comes to us from a listener who writes, because of that show you did yesterday, all of you are the scum that scum wipes off the bottom of its shoes. Here's today's uplifting email.
Come here for a minute. Get back here and sit down for a minute.
What do I do?
Uplifting email of the day, huh? Let me see that.
We're the scum that scum wipes off
the bottom. I'm looking at it. We are the scum that scum wipes off the bottom of its shoes.
Right.
How uplifting do you think that is for me to hear that?
That's today's uplifting email.
That's today's uplifting email, huh? That's the best of the best?
That was probably the most laudatory and wonderful one we got.
Of all the email we get, the best one you can pick is some guy who says that we're the scum that scum wipes off the bottom of its shoes.
I thought it was very honest.
Well, it may be honest. It's not uplifting.
I gotta tell you something. I mean, I thought he was very sharing his feelings. And
look, bud, let me explain something to you. And
that's the uplifting.
Just can the freaking Celtic harp music for a minute. Let me explain something to you, man. I want to do a bit called Uplifting Email of the Day. It's supposed to make me feel good, okay?
Well, I thought it would.
How's that going to make me feel good being called the scum that scum wipes off the bottom of its shoes?
I think there's a little bit of honesty there.
Oh, well, thank you. That's what I want in all my relationships, honesty, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I thought you'd appreciate it.
I appreciate the honesty.
All right, well, then you feel better.
I don't feel better, no.
But you said you appreciate honesty.
I appreciate honesty, yeah.
Then why wouldn't you feel good?
Because it's the kind of honesty the guy says to me, I'm scum. I'm not just scum.
You're the scum they want.
I know what it says. I'm the scum that scum wipes off the bottom of its shoes. The name of this bit is the uplifting email of the day, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this music. What's that sound like to you?
Fag.
Forget about whether it sounds fag or not. What's it sound like to you? It
sounds very light and...
Light and cheery.
Light and cheery.
Uplifting email, light and cheery music. You read me one that says I'm the scum off the scum of the bottom of some guy's shoe.
Better than one that said you should be placed on a plastic sheet and bludgeoned in the head with a stone.
Well, were you going to read that one, too?
I thought that was also very good.
That was a very good one, too, huh? I should be what?
I got an email here that says that you should be placed on a plastic sheet and bludgeoned in the head with a stone.
Oh, well, at least they put me on a plastic sheet.
Well, I didn't want to get no messy on the wall.
Didn't want to get no messy on the wall. You know, I've been feeling down a little bit lately, and I wanted to do this email thing to help me feel better.
I understand.
You understand?
Yeah. So I did the very best I could. I don't know what the hell you want from me, you know? I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing everything I can bring in the uplifting email of the week.
I ought to have my head bludgeoned, and I'm the scum on the bottom of scum shoe.
Right. And I think that they are very telling and very honest. Do you feel better?
No, I do not feel better.
You know, Phil, I got to tell you something about yesterday's show. I mean...
What?
Well, the whole thing of Chandra Levy is too much of a dog for Gary Condit to admit that he was... You know, you don't want me to say pork session.
Yeah, don't say pork session, okay?
Right. I mean, Bonorama?
Forget Bonorama. You can just say affair.
All right.
What about it?
I thought it was... I really thought it was a bad taste.
Well, you know something, bud? It's not your job to...
No. Just hear me out, okay?
I got a producer, okay?
Just hear me out.
I got a producer.
I just want to say it. I just think it was in very good taste.
Look, we had the guy on.
Oh, you had the guy on. It was you doing a voice.
Will you allow me to carry the illusion through?
No. I'm going to call you on this one. I'm going to call you on this.
Look, it was a guy that...
No, it wasn't a guy. It was you doing a voice of a guy. And you brought him on to say that Chandra Levy was too much of a dog for Gary Condit to admit he was having an affair, right?
Well, thank you very much for helping me carry the illusion of the show through.
Well, you know, sometimes I got to call a spade a spade. Don't blame it on some made-up sex addict. You did it.
Thank you very, very much for letting everybody know that I do all the voices on the show.
Well, the problem you do. When you talk about a pork session.
I never said pork session. You did. I never said anything about Bonorama. You did. I'm saying it was an affair. I'm saying that it was a young lady.
Phil, if you don't let me finish, I'm going to tell everybody the secret behind my voice.
Go ahead and finish.
All right. What you did yesterday, I thought, was the lowest piece of manure on the radio I ever heard. The girl could be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to stoop to the level that you do, you are wrong about it, and you make a people cry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another thing that I want to say.
Yeah?
You're mean when you do that, because what if people hear that and they cry about it?
Oh, well, there's a point you didn't make.
And also, another thing, I think that you should be nicer to me on account I brought you email that make you feel good.
Oh, it made me feel real good.
I mean, I know nobody want to be called scum, but that was an honest...
Yeah, I know. It was very honest.
Let me finish. I also felt an obligation to show you the email that show other people feel like me do, too.
You wanted to show me the email that show other people feel like me do, too.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we're getting nothing but email from people that think I'm garbage, I'm crap, I ought to have my head bludgeoned on a plastic sheet, and...
Well, some people think that you bludgeon sheep with your flesh wand.
Okay!
I just want you to know, yesterday's show made my mom cry.
All right, look, I apologize for the show yesterday.
Tell everybody you did the voice of Chris Norton.
I did the voice of Chris Norton.
What was the point you were trying to make?
We were trying to say what a lot of guys say. I mean, that's life, you know? Guys don't want to admit they're going out with certain women because they're...
Even though it was a highly sensitive story where a girl could be dead. Don't you think your timing was wrong?
All right, maybe our timing was off a little bit.
I think you knew it halfway through the bit because you looked like you were getting flop sweat.
I wasn't getting any flop sweat.
All right, I won't tell anybody who does my voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How good is that? I'm being shown up by some guy with a plastic plate in his head. Uplifting email of the week. Oh, will you knock it off with that? That's the kind of music you hear when you go to a candle store, you know? Hi, my name's Brad, and, can we show you some of our exfoliant today? All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi. I'm Ravine, and welcome to Candlemania. We have a selection here for you. They're all scented. Very natural scent. We have evergreen, and of course we have the smell of an overturned garbage can. It's very natural, and also one that's based upon the smell of my armpit. So I think you'll really enjoy these.
That's great, Ravine.
I'm just here to... We also have Art Bell's latest book, Predicting the Millennium, where we'll all be peeing blood in the next year, and that's really fun. And some chamomile tea that you can sit and sip while you read that. We also have diaper-scented incense. And
oh, get me out of here, man.
Okay.
So how many of you guys out there, just raise your hands if your wife takes a bath with the bathtub surrounded by candles. All right. And they're all lit. Yeah. And you walk in and you want to, like, take a dump or whatever, and she's in the bathtub with the candles all lit. Yeah, that's a moment that's... It's really actually kind of cool. You look at your... sweet loving lady in the tub, and she's got her little bubble bath and her little head's poked up and all the candles are lit. It's kind of a quasi-religious thing that they're doing in there, you know? And then they have some music like this. And all of them have drawers filled with supplements. St. John's wort, chamomile root, herbal supplements, things that help. You can go in and ask your girlfriend or your wife, geez, I got a... a hell of a tough time, you know, been kind of constipated lately. Oh, try some of this. This is really good. Well, what the hell is that? This is ground up chipmunk bark, and it's got, you know, it's dehydrated squirrel intestine, and you just take that. You're going to be really, really good, honey. No, really, come on. I had one time she gave me, now I got to get this right, grapefruit extract. Yeah, here, try some of this. You're having a hard time taking a crap? Yeah, here's dried gopher crap. Just put this into a cup of tea. I ain't taking that stuff! But, one time she gave me grapefruit extract. How about if I just go get a grapefruit? No, this is the essence of the grapefruit. Well, if I eat the grapefruit, will I get the essence? Not always, because the intestine, especially the higher colonic area, has a difficult time extracting the nutrients, and that's because of all the mercury in the air. And see, look, I'm not one of these cats that doesn't believe in any of that. I do believe in that. I believe in herbal remedies. In fact, I was big on tryptophan for a long time. Yeah, exactly, because if they give you the grapefruit, Craig just made a very good point. I can't just eat a grapefruit because one drop of the grapefruit extract represents 50,000 grapefruits. So in other words, you'd have to eat 50,000 grapefruits to get the same. And everybody thinks if it's natural, it's good for you. Now they're finding out, they're doing like test squirrels or rats or whatever, they're feeding them things like applesauce and they're growing tumors. It's even the natural stuff is causing cancer. But I believe in that stuff. I've been going to chiropractic since 1978. I mean, which may be not as long as some people. I've been going over a long time. And the first doctor I ran into with the whole herbal thing was like back in the 70s. Of course, that was the time. So I'm there with it. But I also kind of balance it between the two worlds of medical and herbal. And I really can't hang out very long in stores where there's tons of incense burning and the scented candles are... all the rage, and they have books. For instance, I went into one of those stores, and the books are all supposed to be uplifting. Now, I love Art Bell. I'm a big admirer of arts, and he's my hero, okay, in the broadcast world. But I don't want to go into a candle store where they're burning the incense. They got the scented candles. They have all these books on Buddhism and Tao, and there's Art's book,
The Millennium and How You'll All Be Crapping Green Bricks, very shortly.
You know, in other words, how did Art's book work its way into that? He's talking about how we're all going to get, like, raped by the road warrior, man. Yes, sit down, light a candle, listen to music, and imagine yourself being repeatedly ass-pounded by the road warrior. Yes, the millennium is upon us. Anyway, that's what we got at our house. How about you? You know, you walk in and your wife, she's got the candles all lit, and she's taking her bath, and she's got some of that music, got the headphones on, and she's checking out, or she's checking out something like this. Listen to this. This is...
There's a whole radio show in Los Angeles devoted to this music that's on like Sunday nights. I think it's on KPFK or something. And the cat comes on.
Hi, I'm Ekton. And tonight, music from well beyond anything you're even familiar with. That's the name of our show, music from well beyond anything that you're familiar with. This is music for those of us who do believe our friends from Galaxy 4 will be visiting shortly.
Hi, I'm Art Bell, and if you pick up this wonderful, wonderful CD, Euphoria, this beautiful, soft music and the candles will make the unbearable experience of being raped by the Road Warrior just a bit more pleasurable. Do it today, don't delay. New from Piedmont Enterprises.
All right, well, I'm making fun of New Age, the New Age culture. I believe in it. I believe that there is, you know, stuff we can draw from it. But I got friends that are going to laugh, so I have to keep it under, you know, keep it under wraps, man. You know, we all got friends. The things our wives don't understand are the same things our mothers didn't understand. There's certain things you can't talk about in front of our buddies. One of them is, you know, Phil was in the tub the other night with the candles lit, and it was really... Don't tell her that, or him, or it, whoever I'm hanging out with, whatever persuasion. As long as they like football, I don't care. Don't tell my friend Midge that. I met her over at the car wash.
Hey, Phil, where's the beer?
Over there, Midge. So anyway, and, you know, the whole thing with the candles. Look at, yes, okay, I'll do it. Do you want to go with me to the Evita Spa? There's lesbians there that'll rub you down and spray you with a fire hose. Yeah, just don't tell my friends, okay? Phil got a rub down at the Evita Spa by a lesbian. Okay, great. I did. I went to a spa one time in Wisconsin. It's called the Evita Spa. And there they have all these fine people, and they're all have hair on their upper lip. And they, not all of them are guys, and they had a treatment where they stood you up naked in a stall and hit you with a fire hose that's like about 30,000 pounds per square inch. Now, what the hell kind of an experience is this? I'm spending, I don't know, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars for this weekend at this spa, and this is what we call our exfoliant. It's a saltwater spray, and, well, what does it do? Well, you know, we bring in the, Firehouse number 6, and the guys just turn this hose on you, man. And this is the treatment. Apparently, the spray of the salt water is so extreme, it is so concentrated and so powerful, it's supposed to just spray all the dead skin off of you. So when I walk into this stall, I see a body laying there. You know, the guy's just been sprayed to death. Okay, this is our exfoliant slash. It's a very harsh enema, but I think you'll enjoy it. What do you use for your enema liquid? It's a combination. It's mustard gas and... After a while, you begin to wonder. You know, you're there at the thing and... Hi, would you like our hot spray? Hot spray? Well, sure. You just go in and we'll spray you with an exfoliant. Well, what does it do? Well, it gets all the dead skin off. Well, okay, I'll try it. Yes, hot naked firemen will spray you down. Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry, you're in there. We got to lock the door. Let me out! So next thing you know, your wife is telling, hot naked firemen sprayed Phil down this weekend. Really? With what? And when you say spray, smile when you say that. You got sprayed down by hot naked firemen. That's great. Hey, Phil, that poker game Saturday night, I don't know that I can... Come on, you guys. I mean, it was with a hose.
Yeah, we get it with a hose.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I don't know why hockey players do not get into problems with cocaine, but they just don't. I mean, I'm sure now we're going to get 8 million phone calls from people saying,
hey, wait a second, Phil. Marcel Dion, we had a nose full.
But I've never heard of a hockey player having a coke problem. Now, what that is, I don't get what that is, but they just don't. You know, basketball players, they got more trouble with that stuff. Baseball players, Steve Howe. Remember Steve Howe? Man, that guy couldn't stay away from it. I mean, you could put a gun to his head. Well, that guy's an addict. That's what an addict is. People don't understand that. They can't stay away from it. You got to stick them into some program. I don't know, whatever will work. But the NHL doesn't have to deal. The National Hockey League. You know what I'm talking about when I say hockey, okay? All those guys, all those Canadian farm boys out on the ice running around with a stick. That's what I mean. Hockey. They ain't got no cocaine problem in hockey. I don't know what it is. There must be some kind of a Canadian, a paternal farm mentality, you know? No, our boys don't do that. Is it a race thing? Is Coke something that is... Listen to me, I'm sounding like I'm worked up, like I really care. Is Coke this problem? Like only black guys really get off on Coke. Because what? It's a confidence booster that there might be some racial dynamic at work there. I don't know what it is. I just mentioned Steve Howe. He's white. Now, you know, I know plenty of white people got a coke problem. White people love crack cocaine, by the way. They got it all over black folks when it comes to crack. There are more whites addicted to crack per capita than any black race you care to mention, here on Earth or at Vulcan. It doesn't matter. White people are down with that stuff, and, you know, they fuel that trade. But I don't get the whole National Hockey League. The football, baseball, basketball had better sit down with the guys in hockey and figure out how is you keep these farm, these Canadian, these guys with no teeth. They're too stupid to know how to buy it. Hockey players, by and large, are probably the dumbest of all the athletes. They just, you know, they don't get it. They come out of Canada. It's a fairly insular country. I mean, forgive me, but it is. The one thing you say about Americans, we're stupid, but we got our nose in a lot of stuff. So just by experience and osmosis, we figure things out. In Canada, they don't get it. And that's fine. I mean, it's a nice, pure, wonderful country. The trade-off of moving to a place like Canada or Minnesota, take your pick, is that you're moving to a place that, yes, there's less crime and it's very peaceful, but the people are suspicious of you. And outsiders are not suffered well. So when I moved to Minnesota and I was on the air there for a year in radio, they were the least friendly human beings that I had ever met in my life. They were insular. They were provincial. They were farmers. I didn't mind them being insular and provincial, but that farmer thing. And so that's the trade-off. And I don't care. You could get a million calls from people, Minnesotans are the most friendly. No, bull crap. They're not friendly at all. You can live on the same street. You can move to Minnesota, live on the same street for years, and you never meet anybody. Same thing with Canada, okay? They don't get anything, okay? So that's one of the reasons why the trade-off being that they're very insular and they're very provincial, but they don't know jack about anything, and so they're sort of pure that way. And I don't care what you want to tell me about Toronto and the big city. You know, forget it. They don't know. They don't know how to get, they don't know where it is. Look at those guys. You ever seen a picture of a hockey player with the big grin and no teeth? These are guys, I was telling Mike, I was at a hockey game once. This actually happened. This is an occurrence. Now, I don't know about you, but to me this is unusual. Guy skating in the game, falls forward, takes a skate right in the face. I mean, he took the back of a skate right into his mouth. Knocks out 8 teeth. Goes into the locker room between periods and has to have, I don't know, maybe 14 stitches taken on the inside of his mouth. Now, have you ever heard of anything like that? And then another, I don't know, 10 stitches on the outside of his face, gets back on the skates, he's back out, he's playing. Now, is that insanity? What is that? Or is that just dumb? Or is that just, you know, oh, he can shake it off, the kid's all right. Guy's got 50 stitches in his face. No, he's okay. Or is it coke? Okay, now we got the answer. Those guys, not only do they know about cocaine, not only is it medicinal, but they are so down with that drug that they will not let anybody know where their supply is, where it is in the locker room, whether they're even using it or not. But now you know why. In the NHL, those guys can take a full skate in the mouth. They've got vials of that stuff, bags of it. Take a whole lot of coke to rub on those stitches inside your freaking mouth to numb that, but they can do it. So either either football and baseball and basketball, I got to ask them, how do you guys do that stuff and keep it away from the press? Or just, how do you guys do that? Or never mind. You guys in the press ought to look into that. We were talking about Steve Howe and Dexter Manley and all these guys, and there's some athletes that would be arrested for drug usage that would literally drive the average fan to suicide. Now, I ask you, Robert Downey getting stopped stumbling down a street with a vial of coke or a crack in his pocket and a crack pipe, you know, in his other pocket, that's something we've come to expect. But what if the news broke tomorrow morning
that Joe Montana was stumbling down an alley in Culver City with a crack pipe in his pocket. It would be stunning, wouldn't it? And yet something in me holds out hope that, no, I'm kidding. But, I mean, that would take the average sports fan. What if Tommy Lasorda was popped under a neon sign, some broken neon sign outside of a strip bar and, you know? How about John Elway? They find vials of coke in his pocket and a bent spoon in the, you know. The average sports fan has built these guys up so much, they commit suicide. They'd take a gun and they'd put it right to their head, and they would fire repeatedly until something came out. They would shoot once, maybe put one bullet, maybe go for three if they stayed alive long enough. What if Tiger Woods? Okay, never mind. But that whole hockey thing, and the brass balls to play that sport, yeah, you got to be coked out of your mind. You know what, Mike? You're right. There's plenty of it in the sport. The guys that flushed it down the toilet, you know, whether it's Hollywood Henderson, Daryl Strawberry, Len Bias, Doc Gooden, Dexter Manley, Steve Howe, guys that have thrown that stuff away on the powder, thrown their lives away in the powder, I mean, that's a pretty good ball club right there, although I'm not so sure. One of them was Daryl Henley. Now, this guy was a back for the L.A. Rams. I'm not glad he went into dealing cocaine, but frankly, he didn't have much of a career with the Rams. So Howe was over the hill, too. So, look, if you're no good anymore as an athlete, start dealing. That's what happened to Mercury Morris. I've been in press boxes. I have seen press boxes. I've seen sports writers. Don't tell me, because I know. I've seen those guys smoking weed. I've seen them doing lines. I've seen them getting rat-assed while they're on the job. So don't you cats write your pious, sanctimonious columns about drugs in sports. You guys are so full of it, it's beyond belief. It stretches the bounds of anybody's imagination. Where half these sports writers writing about athletes using drugs, I've seen it with my own eyes. What you guys do up in a press box. And some of you have been good enough to share it with me. But frankly, that's not what we're talking about. Because I ain't a sports writer. You guys are out of your freaking mind. All they got to do is let the cops loose in a press box one of these days and see what goes on up there. Writing about whether the athletes are using drugs and whether they're good role models, okay? I'm not saying that a sports writer is a role model, especially since you guys decided to start publishing your pictures in the paper, but there's only two people in the world who should not have their pictures anywhere published, any place, radio personalities and newspaper writers, because we're all fat, balding, and frightening. And that's just the facts, Jack. But thanks for sharing your drugs with me. I'm telling you, you think I'm kidding? Guys, knock it off with all that crap about how the athletes are ruining the image with the kids with the drugs. You guys stop using, and then we'll talk turkey, okay? We'll talk cold turkey. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, Best of the Phil Henry Show CD can be had at 877-616-7445. Number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD with 2001 right around the corner.